This episode is brought to you by Hans Kombucha. Hans Kombucha is a small batch, women-owned, local kombucha brewery. Hannah and Kate are slaying it with their booch. They use the freshest and most healthy ingredients while sourcing locally as best they can. Go ahead and order online at HansKombucha.com or head to their brewery, which is at 370 Aspen Avenue in Salt Lake. It's only a couple blocks south from TF Brewery and up the street from Grid City and the West Side Tavern, and right behind the Tesla Service Center. Fill up your growlers and try their amazing flavors like pineapple cactus nectar, beet lemonade, ginger hibiscus, and more. They have the best booch in town. Tell them we sent you and support local by buying local. Until our next booch, my friends. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. All right, guys, super fun episode today. I'm joined with my co-host and one of my favorite brown people of all time, Melissa Diaz. Hello, so, Melissa.
David, how you doing? ¿Cómo estás?
Well, you know, otro día más. It's just another day.
Yeah.
You know
totally.
How it is.
It is.
But what's new, girl? How you been?
Good. Busy. Busy's good. Taken over with cupcakes.
Now, so how's that going? Holiday season?
I'm sorry?
Holiday season cupcakes?
Holiday season cupcakes, dude. I made 150 for the Salt Lake City Tribune yesterday, which was awesome. Super fun. I like to let my brain explode and do its thing. So,
when are you going to get an assistant?
That is a great question. I'm searching, so fun fact, apply.
Here we go. There you go. So I have in front of you two of our mutual friends.
Yeah.
Brothers, if you will, right? Clay and Shane, how you guys doing?
Doing really well. Thanks for having me on.
Great.
For having us on.
Yeah, so we're in the heart of Quitos, right? We are here, in the brew house. This is really cool.
It's freaking huge.
Super cool. Do you guys like playing here all the time? Like, you guys just hang out back here all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a playground back here. It really is. It's a lot of fun back here.
I mean, there is the two cornhole tables, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool.
Clay's got a cool office back here.
Yeah,
that's true.
So much room for activities.
So, boys, a quick question. I'm going to start off spitfiring questions, if you don't mind. Who's older?
I'm older. Clay.
So, Clay's older by how much?
3 years? Yeah.
3 years. Yeah.
87, you're 90?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Great year, homie.
So, you guys got to, like, hang out in high school for, like, a year-ish?
No.
Uh-uh.
No, he was,
Oh, wait, they do high school differently.
Yeah, high school here is weird where, like, gotcha. There's only the 10th, 11th, 12th grade, and when I was in 12th grade, Shane was 9th grade, right?
Yeah, we missed by a year.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah, because my brother and I were separated by 4 years, but he got held back 1 year. Dummy. So, I was a freshman, and he was a senior, and he was always trying to, like, hang out with my friends. I'm like, leave my friends alone.
I see that. Yeah. But you guys have any other siblings?
We do. We have an older brother and a younger sister. So we're kind of right in the middle.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's really cool. And then mom and pa always support. I feel like I've seen them twice here.
Yeah.
When it was Nick.
They probably come in. Yeah.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. Basically, anytime there's an event at Quitos, mom and dad come down too. They're super supportive
That's
of
really
everything
cool.
that we do here.
I wish I had supportive parents.
Don't cry, okay? Look, brown people don't cry.
Yes, we do. Okay, so.
We cry in the darkness.
You guys, hobbies. So, Shane, some of the hobbies you guys have.
We love baseball. Like, my whole family loves baseball, and we golf a lot.
Oh, do you guys not?
Yeah,
that's true.
Are
we
decent golfers?
I mean, one of the best.
Wow, I love this.
Reason he didn't go pro is because he's a beard model instead.
Oh,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
You guys are handsome, I will tell you that.
We're too good to go on the tour.
You want to give the other guys a shot.
Let's go. So then, Clay, what is your position here at Quitos?
I am the head brewer. So basically in charge of, you know, what's happening in the brewery.
Mm.
What we're brewing, recipe formulation. Obviously, Malcolm Stewart's here as another brewer. He obviously has a lot of input on recipe development and what's going on here as well.
That's dope.
Yeah.
And then Shane, what are you in charge of over here?
Oh, tap room manager, maintenance, merchandise.
Electrician, plumber.
Yeah, jack of all trades.
Jack of all trades.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
He's a Swiss Army knife, if you will, of Quitos.
And you always have the coolest polos because you got,
you know, was it Party International, those polos?
Yeah, yeah.
The sickest polos, dude.
They make some awesome shirts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they customize shirts?
They do, yeah. So we work with them and design them. Yeah.
Because I want to get a Tastemasters one.
Yeah, all the brewers, some of the brewer.
Yeah, the Fisher ones are dope. Same one, same company then?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, and they're local too. Party Shirt International.
Dang, supporting local all over the place.
I like that.
Yeah.
So then, Ketos. Boys, tell me the story behind Ketos. What's Ketos? Why is this a thing? Where did this come from? Who brought it up? How are we here today?
Well, I got involved with Ketos in May of 2017. And the owner here, his name's Andrew. His family's Finnish.
Oh, cool.
And so it was actually his grandmother that named the brewery Ketos, and it just means thanks or gratitude in Finnish. So when I got involved, Andrew had the building and about half the equipment that's in here already, and just wanted to bring on a brewer because he had no interest in actually running the brewery, as far as like boots on the ground type running the brewery.
Gotcha.
Obviously, he's the owner and runs things in a way, but he's not a brewer. And he brought me in to get things off the ground, and another guy, Chad Allen, who is our head cellarman, who's not with us today.
Gotcha. And then, so Finnish, Ketos is born. Is it what you guys are 4 years old, 5 years old for?
We are four and a
half.
Four, a little over four.
Tap room is 4 years old, December 1st.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We started brewing in, was it the end of September, beginning of October in 2017. And it took us a little longer to get the tap room open, but you could find our beer at a few places around town.
That's really cool.
That
oh my god,
fall.
I'm finding your beer everywhere. I was in St. George, and we went into like some small little sports bar, and we were sitting there, and I was looking at the menu. I look up, and I was like, "There's Ketos tap handle. That's
beautiful.
What I want."
Love it, because you guys are all in Utah, like throughout Utah, right?
Yeah.
Are we outside Utah?
No, we are not outside Utah. We've had a few discussions about it in the past, but it's kind of not been necessary. We'd rather, you know, get deep roots in Utah and specifically
like
Salt
that.
Lake City. And if we ever need to go out of state, then that's something we'll look into. But ultimately, we just want to serve the Utah market as best as possible.
Right.
And if there's room for growth eventually, then we'll look into it.
Oh, hell yeah. So is there going to be a Ketos location numero dos?
Like a satellite
second
tap
brewery,
room
second tap room. Is not, that hush-hush?
Not in the foreseeable future, but it is part of a multi-year plan that we have been discussing.
That's really awesome.
So
I like that. Yes,
heck yeah.
That means pumpkin spice lager or latte. There we go. Every year,
every year.
I saw a sucker for every time you guys released that one. I'm like, god damn it.
I think that was the first cupcake that I made with you guys. I think Rachel reached out when pumpkin season came around last year.
Wow. Yes, it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every year, I am so surprised with how this was our third year doing pumpkin latte, or only two.
I think two. So that must have been the pumpkin golden ale, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
For the cupcakes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, every year I feel like we've doubled the production of pumpkin beer every year, and it always runs out. Like it's always a struggle to make it to Halloween.
Right.
Yeah.
With our pumpkin
same,
beer.
Same, dude. Yeah, at Bewilder, we had our pumpkin mild on, and when November came around, people were like, "Do you still have your pumpkin beer?" And I was like, "Nah, dude. Everybody drink it. Yeah. October, it's over."
But I mean, I'm a sucker for pumpkin. I caved to the pumpkin thing. Like, I'm done. Pumpkin's my game. Like, I love it.
Yeah, no judgment here.
No. The great beer. I think my first Ketos beer that blew my mind was, and actually, an award-winning beer, the Coffee Cream Ale. And that one was like, holy shit. The Cream Ale can have coffee, and it's not bitter and astringent, and leaves my mouth like I licked the coffee pot. Like, I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And congrats, by the way, Clay, by being an award winner on that one.
Thank you.
Buddy.
How was that? I was getting a gold medal at GABF.
That was crazy, because that was in our... We hadn't quite been open for a year when that happened.
Oh, wow.
And so we were still, and I mean, don't get me wrong, we're still, you know, a small company that's, you know, in its infancy. But back then it was crazy. We didn't have the money to send the whole staff out to GABF. So it was essentially me and my girlfriend, who I'm still with, Allie. We went to Denver to just in case, like we're only going out there. We're not serving beer at GBF. We're like, the only reason to go out there was some off chance that we get a medal. We want to be there to get it and go up on stage and meet Charlie. And I wasn't expecting it. And holy cow, I feel like I was floating in the clouds when they announced.
Real, huh?
I was just, it was crazy.
That's like, really cool,
you cried, didn't you?
I'd have to ask Allie. She would know
it's
for
like
sure.
A blur. I don't know.
But yeah, it was a surreal experience, or well, a surreal thing. Like, it's something that I've always wanted to. It's one of those bucket list things you want to accomplish
for sure.
To accomplish that sometime in your career.
Yeah.
And then for me to do it so early on, it was just. Yeah, now, but now I've got the itch. I want to do it. I want another one.
Exactly.
You set the bar pretty high at the beginning. You're like, fuck, here we go.
Do you ever let Shane wear the medal around his neck and you're like, you're not a brewer, homie?
Shane actually went up to Idaho Falls this year and got some of our medals from there this year.
Yeah.
Nice.
Had some medals over my neck that I didn't make at all.
You were the supporting cast. Feeling.
Yeah.
Are you a home brewed or ever brewed? Ever?
Mr. Beer. You know?
Yeah.
Heard of those little kits?
Yeah. You made.
That's kind of how you started too. Yeah,
it is. Yeah, my first.
Do you remember what beer it was?
Oh, I just made a whole bunch of boozy ones, and they were just terrible.
Yeah, this was back when Shane and I were living together in the Weber State days, and we had little Mr. Beer kits, and we would just throw tons of sugar in them to try and boost up the alcohol content.
Oh my God,
and
that's funny.
I don't think we made anything that was. I mean, I'd love to go back and try them now, but obviously, there's no way to do that. But
right.
I think we were proud of what we did, just because it was the first time making beer.
Yeah,
but
in college, were you in the dorm?
We actually, it was a condo we rented.
Yeah,
right there next to campus
really cool.
At Weber State. Yeah.
So, what do you guys have degrees in, or did you guys get degrees at Weber?
I was going to school for English and I left before finishing because I realized I didn't want to do anything to do with that.
Yeah,
besides like it, I don't want to do anything else.
Beer's more fun. Let's do that.
Exactly.
Shane did though.
I got mine in geography.
Oh, cool, dude.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
And criminal justice, double major.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's why you're really good at golf.
Maybe.
That's really cool. I didn't know that. So then you guys both live in Salt Lake right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. You guys are like best friends, kind of, right? As brothers, you guys have a nice...
Best two friends anyone could have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had a brother.
Shane and I are really tight. It's,
I like that.
I feel very fortunate to be so close with my brother.
That's really cool. I like that, guys. So, Shane, I have a question for you. So, Ketos has, on every can, there's these like...
Cute little animals.
Animals, right?
Yeah.
To me, they look like Beanie Babies from the 90s. Every single one. Every single one. You got like a badger,
a
wolverine,
seen a wolf,
right?
Beanie Baby. Yeah.
So
I would have bought that one.
Maybe Clay, you know this, but what do you think about these? Where do these logos come from?
So they're all native of Finland.
Gotcha.
Animals of Finland. That's basically the gist of it.
Gotcha. Can we make like a Ketos Beanie Baby line?
That's a good idea.
That would
I'm telling
be
you,
cool.
With all these
dog
animals.
Toys. Do dog toys.
There you go.
Squeakers.
That's a great idea.
See, wait, so who's the artist, though? Like, where do you get the art from? You do it?
No, we use a local company called
local.
Redirect,
okay.
I believe, is who designed all the cans.
Nice. We just also kind of give them the concept.
Yeah, exactly. They're the ones that came up. Well, they originally pitched us a few different, lines, I guess you would say. There was a couple that looked a little too much soda like.
Gotcha.
But this one with like the Finnish animals and that the classic design. Mm. Yeah.
I really like it.
Yeah, it was the one that stood out the most to us, and so we kinda went with that, and we've used a couple other people to kinda dress up a few of our other labels. Like they didn't do our anniversary beers because I wanted those to be super clean and white, and so they don't quite have the same look.
Right.
But they're meant to stand out.
I like them a lot. And then you have one that, it's a glittery one, right?
We've done a couple glitter beers.
Oh, the Big Gay Ale?
That's one, but then there's one that the label was glittery, right? Did you have a glittery one, or am I making that up?
Was the St. Patrick's Day one glittery on the label?
It was glitter in the beer, but not...
Just in the beer.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Like glitter ones. Let's do that. I'm just going to give you guys all the ideas.
Do you really love glitter?
I love glitter.
Like so much.
Very much
so.
So
hard.
Yes.
You're not alone. A lot of people.
See? And
love
pumpkin.
Glitter.
I like
glitter pumpkin
beer.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Sorry, guys. Write that down.
Next on Taste Masters, we're going to talk about glitter pumpkin beer.
I like that.
Yeah.
So we have beers. Let's open one. Which one you guys want to break open?
Beer for breakfast, y'all.
Yeah.
Beer for breakfast. Now I'm regretting my decision that we have a whole lot of high alcohol beers in front of us.
Hope you don't got to do anything today.
Right. Actually, I think I'd rather start with the Growler. We've got the Vienna Lager.
Let's do it.
That is a much...
So what's about the Vienna Lager? Like, why? Is it special? Is it something you made? Is it your recipe?
It's a collaboration with me and Malcolm. And Vienna lagers are just, I mean, I'm sure you've gotten this from all the brewers pretty much. Brewers love lagers.
Yeah. I wish the consumers did.
Yeah, we all do.
Sorry.
The Vienna Lager, it's something Malcolm and I had brewed a small batch of last year. And this one was, that was on our, a 7-barrel batch. Our normal brew house size is 17 barrel batches or 20 hectoliters.
Cool.
So this is the first time we did a full size batch of the Vienna Lager, and we changed the yeast, and it's just, I love these beers and don't get a chance to make them all that often. And I'm really happy with how this one turned out.
This has a really pretty color to it.
And don't put glitter in it, or I will
want some. Oh, that's where you draw the line.
Yes, in lagers.
Gotcha.
Thanks,
yeah. Well, cheers, guys.
Yeah, cheers.
What's cheers in Finnish? Do we know?
Kippis.
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 I always say it wrong.
Kippis.
Kippis. I think that's right. 90% okay. Sure.
I'll say it. out to my repertoire.
Kippis. Salud. Prost. That's actually really good. I normally don't reach for these beers right away. I reach for the Imperial stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's where I live. And the sour. I think the raspberry.
Stout.
All of it.
Mm-hmm. Coconut.
Your guys' raspberry sour, I think, is the first. Or not, sorry, blackberry sour.
Blackberry. Mm-hmm.
It's the first beer that I tried when I moved to Utah.
When was that?
2019, October.
Okay.
I think we were at, where were we?
Is that the sour, right, you said?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that the one with the crustacean on it?
Mm-hmm.
Why yep. The crustacean on a sour? I wanted to ask that question. Now that it's wrong, I don't know why. Is it because purplish?
Honestly, it was just suggested by the marketing company, the local marketing company we use, and they usually will give us a few different ideas, and they'll send them all over, and we just kind of, that one just looked the best, honestly.
I like it.
And it's cute.
And so that was your first one?
There it is. Yeah, that was my first Keto's
really cool.
Beer.
Mm-hmm. Have you made a cupcake with that?
Yes.
When did we do that? That was,
I think we did like a sweet and sour.
That's right, we did. It was a blend, because you guys blended it with vanilla. Uh-huh.
Yep.
Yeah, that's kind of what's fun about the beer here, is that you guys have so many different options and so many blending options. I remember at one point I got kind of bananas. I I did the coconut stout. There was coffee cream ale and something else, and I called it like, oh, and the, is the coffee cream and then the vanilla nut and the, it was a sour of some sort, and it was bananas.
Right.
I was like, I don't remember what I called it, but I remember I always told you the name, so I was just like, oh, you should call it this.
Diaz, I just give you guys ideas. Do this. Yeah, sorry, guys.
No, it was delicious.
That's something we've always encouraged at Keto's, is trying our beers and blending them. Like, I'm not some purist that says you can't try and blend these. No, if you think these two flavors are going to meld together, give them a try. And we encourage our bar staff to do that as well.
Yeah. That's good enough. You can name it, you know?
Yeah.
So what's one of your favorite blends then, Shane?
Probably the sweet and sour.
Yeah.
Because I'm not into sours, and I like how it mellows it down just enough. It's
doesn't have that bite anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. That's really cool. So as in the tap room, do you give your bartenders a lot of freedom to educate them on how to talk about beer? Or I feel like when they come to Keto's, they got to know what Keto's is all about. They kind of need to know. It's first line of defense. They have to have an education on how to pour beer properly, what styles go where. And then is that something you have to make sure that they all know that?
Yeah, it starts on, actually interview process kind of starts from there. And then training, and then usually once a week or every other week, I sit down with them and teach them about something about a beer.
That's really cool.
That's
an
nice.
Ale or a pilsner, or what the difference is, you know.
So you care about your product and your bartenders.
Of
That's
course.
Fascinating
That's
to
super
me.
Important. I mean, your bar staff, like you said, is your first line of defense. You know, a person that walks through your door, they got one shot, right, to be impressed by you and to decide if they want that second pint. So if your bartender isn't educated or if they're not friendly, that guest is going to have one and done. And then the longevity of them coming back isn't going to be a thing. So the fact that you take the time and you do that with your staff is super important.
That's really cool, dude. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me nightmares if people don't come back. I want them to come back.
Yeah,
right. And you guys have a cool setup with all the games and arcade. It's like an arcade room in there. It's really cool.
It really is. We have a ton of pinball and
there dartboards out there?
No.
We thought about dartboards.
That's a great idea though.
It is, but that's a Bewilder thing.
Yeah, no.
It's an everyone thing. Throw darts at everything. Just do it. But you guys host pinball night, right? Is it Monday nights?
Yeah, no, first of the month on Tuesdays.
I'm super wrong. Got it.
Yeah. The big crowd comes and they play till like 10:30 at night.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. They have a good time.
Yeah. Super competitive too.
You guys have a lot of events going on here in the tap room. You have a lot of charity events. You have a lot of people come in support. Like, what's that all about? Bring just, it's like a weekly thing, right?
Yeah. It's really our name, Keto's Thanks Gratitude. So we always want to give back. So we have that really give cool. thanks handle. This month we're supporting the Utah Food Bank. Last one was Arbor Day Foundation, trying to plant trees. You know, cool. we're always trying to give back. So,
and is it hard for you to convince people to come to Keto's and hang out?
No, you know, we have enough. We have a good quality beer, and Clay makes some good stuff. So,
it's really cool. Yeah. Hell yeah, yeah, guys! And by the way, Vienna's pretty good.
Yeah, like it? It's so like a lot. Good.
I just want to drink. Like, I don't want to open anything else. So I guess this is fantastic. Just clean that malt right there. Touch of toast. Like, I like that.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad that we don't have it in cans right now. I'm really regretting that decision to not put it in cans. But we also try and release some beers like the Vienna Lager as tavern exclusives that you need to come down to Keto's. Yeah, you can't totally. Go. You can't it's get a, it at the grocery
incentive,
store.
Right?
Yeah, come down and see us. And there's always something that you're not going to find at the grocery stores
there's
at the tavern.
28 other beers on tap.
That's bananas. So,
exactly. You guys have lots to try. Wow, how's that? How's keeping up with that? Because you have production and you have a bunch of handles. Is that just a pain in the ass to keep up with?
It's a challenge. It's certainly a challenge. But that's also why you'll see us try and like use beer to get a couple different beers out of it. Like, I don't think a lot of people know that our blonde ale is the base for Coffee Cream Ale.
Mm.
So that like that's just one example. There's a couple other examples, but that's one example of how it's one brew day. We're making one beer, but the only difference is one gets coffee beans in the bright tank, and
that's
one
really cool.
doesn't. And that's yeah. And so there's a lot of that to try and like our the winter ale that we released it's our amber ale. Like on brew day, I didn't know if that was going to turn out to be amber ale or winter ale, but it's the same base beer. And we kind of use some of those little tricks to try and keep those 29 draft handles full.
Gotcha. That's actually really cool. And then you guys have firkins every week or every other week? How the firkins work out?
We're doing them on Wednesdays now.
Yeah.
How's it firkin going?
Some weeks are better than others, but it's firkin awesome.
Right? I love it.
Some really cool things that Malcolm does almost all of them.
Yeah, Malcolm does most of the firkins now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just kind of whatever he wants, the free game. Just send it.
Try and keep a bunch of weirder spices and fruits and stuff just upstairs. And
that's awesome.
Kind of just a catalog of random ingredients.
What's one that like took off the most? Like the best, most popular firkin recently?
Anything made with blackberry is super popular.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, now that's the one. But now going back to the pumpkin latte, that actually started as a firkin idea.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Awesome. I mean,
so that was like 3 years ago, I think, as a firkin idea. And then then after it was super successful, we did it. So this would have been, I think, 2018. We did a couple. It was so popular, we ended up doing that same firkin like three times throughout the fall.
Hell yeah.
And then made a plan that immediately that we were going to bring that beer full production.
That's really
the
cool.
next year. And it's
isn't
just
that awesome how firkins work out like that? That's what they are for, though.
Exactly.
Right?
I was going to say, is that the whole reason behind a firkin is to test stuff out, see if you can make it on a big batch?
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of it is how are these flavors going to blend? And sometimes it's nope, let's not put star anise in this beer again. And sometimes it's like, wait, that could be good
really cool.
if we also added some cinnamon and some nutmeg.
Yeah.
And there's just, it's a good way to explore flavors.
Yeah. Shane, have you ever thought of a firkin idea that has come to fruition?
Smoked cherries, seltzers,
wow.
pilsners, you know?
Yeah.
Something crazy. Just something you don't think goes together. That's what I'm all about. Yeah.
Upstairs in our in our break room, we have a whiteboard with beer ideas. And anybody can walk by and throw an idea down there.
Destroy that.
A lot of times those end up becoming firkins first,
really
and
cool.
then we might, you know, invest more time and effort
into
them.
Yeah, like how you guys are having fun with the beer. Like, you guys are serving a product, but you're passionate about it, and like you're saying, I'm not a purist. Like, let's have fun. Like, you have a pickle beer, for Christ's sake.
Oh. Yeah.
So how did that come to fruition? Like, tell me about that one.
Man,
I don't like pickles, so I'm gonna stay.
Not
out of this
I
one.
Like it, by the way. No. Thank you for making
Thank
that
you.
Beer.
Of course.
Thank
of
you
course.
For having the balls to make that beer because I want to make a beer like that.
We had a packaging kind of the guy that was running packaging for the last couple of years. He just recently moved on to a professional job.
Oh.
Not that this isn't a professional job, but
that's his loss.
Yeah. It was actually his idea. His name's Cord, and he worked back here for the last year or so. And he said one day, just what if we tried making a pickle beer? And it kind of just, I kind of brushed it off like pickle beer. I don't know if I want to make pickle beer.
Yeah.
And then I kind of thought about it for a little while and marinated in my head for a little while. And then honestly what it was is I had a bag of pickle sunflower seeds. And then I started really thinking about how this would be a beer that you could also, how do I want to say it? Like a beer that would, almost like a hangover beer. A beer that you could
like
drink after, beer that you go that you drink after
your,
after like a run or something like that. And I was like, oh, this could actually be pretty good. And then so we invested some more time and effort into it, and holy cow, it turned out awesome.
Yeah, we cannot run out now.
How do you put the pickle in? Like, do you legitimately take pickles and just put it in there, or is it juice?
Pickle juice.
Gotcha.
Pickle juice.
I just so envision it is good for Shane like post-workout. Reluctantly dumping pickles into a tank and being like, this is going to be gross.
Because I feel like you either hate or love pickles. It's like one of those foods, right?
Yep.
And so some people were like, fuck that, ketos. What are you doing? And some people were like, hell yeah. Sign me up. And I was one of those, hell yeah, sign me up.
Yeah, it's really just, it's pickle brine and when we add a little extra salt to try and make it more of like a ghost style.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. That's so cool. I remember the first time I had it and granted, I was drunk, but it was awesome.
No, that doesn't happen.
Yes, I'll dig it right now. You never can that beer? It's a tavern only beer.
It's been tavern only. I have hand canned some of it to do some shelf stability tests to see how long I feel like it will hold up on a... I kind of... You know, unfortunately, as a brewer, I have to kind of plan on these beers being treated very poorly. Like, ideally, you're going to store these beers in a fridge and they will hold up for months and months and months and taste delicious. But we also have to plan that they might sit in an 80-degree storefront or in the DABC or in a convenience store, and they might get put right next to a glass window and sit in the sun. So we kind of have to put the beers through a ringer, a process to see how bad they could get in the market. And it actually, it's awesome. I actually tried one last week. I hand canned a case in July, and I just tried one last week.
Gotcha.
Tastes delicious still.
Where did you keep it in order to test it?
I put it up in the attic up here, just to out in the open and
nice and warm up
there. I was going to say, was the temperature up there?
So over the summer, it would have gotten, you know, touched 90 degrees. And
ouch, sorry.
Now it's fine up there. Obviously, yeah, it's nice and chilly up there.
It's a fridge now.
But
so barrel aging one?
That could be interesting.
Yes, almost threw up.
All the weird stuff. Let's do it.
If you could see my face, it's really funny.
I can one up that. Make a cupcake out of it.
A pickle cupcake? What are you doing to me? No, listen. I told you I drew the line when Shades created their spaghetti beer, and Marcy was just like, "I'm making a spaghetti beer," and I'm like, "Good for you. I'm not touching that. Nope, not it."
But how would you make a pickle cupcake?
No, you're gonna make me try to dive into that. I would try to use like the sweetest pickle I could find. Like the sweetest pickle I could find would be like the only thing in my brain that might work. Maybe turn it into like a margarita pickle cupcake with salt on top of the frosting.
Dang, you got it figured out.
See, don't say no to everything. It's okay.
I'm just saying no to pickles and spaghetti. I'll do buffalo
chicken.
People
say you won't do it.
People are saying I won't do it, Shane David. All right, cool. when's your birthday? You're getting pickle
cupcakes.
It's
next month. Perfect.
Because I don't want to make it and you don't want to eat it.
I love this. All right, boys. So another question for you. I want to talk about this. So tap room expansion. Do you think it'll ever happen here in this location, or we're looking at here?
There's been discussion. So we've already...
Because you guys are popping.
We've already done one taproom expansion here. We used to have our offices used to be included in what is now tavern space.
Oh, wow.
So that has already expanded a couple times. We'll see. There's talks of...
Maybe it's like basically an extended patio?
It's basically, do we want to invest a ton of money into this building or build a new building?
Cool.
We're not going to be leaving this neighborhood, though. Mm. So yeah, regardless of what direction it goes, we will stay. Yeah. This is our neighborhood and we love it here.
I love it here. I love how you guys are tucked back into the corner. It's a little quieter here. Mm-hmm. I mean, not when the train drives by, but rolls by. They don't drive.
It's part of the experience. You pay for that.
Extra character.
Yeah.
Extra character. Totes.
You can feel it when you're playing pinball. Yeah. You know?
It's fantastic. Shakes the...
Yeah.
It is. The railroad line is what, 20 feet away from our west side building, or the west of the building right
here. Yeah.
Man, it's that rumbling after that earthquake we had, a year and a half ago?
Yeah.
Just consistently, every time a train rolls by for like a month, my heart would drop. Like, oh, it's happening again.
Tanks are going to fall over. No.
Yeah. How was the earthquake for you guys? Did you guys like lose anything? Like, because I know you guys have a huge cold storage back there. Like, I just don't know how stable everything was.
I think we're all good. You said some tanks kind of shifted.
Yeah, like you can see the tanks like leave a little mark with their footing, and all of the tanks shifted about a couple inches, but nothing bad. I mean,
yeah, it's good.
It was kind of frightening, but I bet, dude. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine, and the emoji with like the dog with the fire behind it.
So pickle beer. Oh, the brew system. You guys have this awesome brew system, one of the best in the nation, right? Like one of those high efficiency ones.
We do. It is not something you would usually see in a craft brewery.
No. So I was talking to Malcolm about it the other day, and he was trying to explain it to me, and what the hell?
It's a beast.
I want to like watch you guys brew on this.
It is a fun system to brew on. It is something that it took a lot of learning. Like when Andrew first hired me here, I understood what a mash filter was, a mash press, whichever one you want to call it. And I knew how they're supposed to work in theory, but obviously I'd never brewed on one. And they're very new technology to craft brewers, like Budweiser, Miller Coors, the big boys have been using this technology forever. And I think Full Sail was the first like craft brewery to really get into a mash press. And IDD is a brew equipment manufacturer out of Southern California. A lot of people use their keg washers and stuff, but they got into the brew houses and they immediately went into these mash press filters. And it is something new to learn on. Chad and I actually got to go brew at Crux Fermentation Project up in Bend, Oregon, because they run the exact same brew house up there. Not at their, they have a facility right in Bend that's open to the public, but they have a production facility in Bend also. And that's where they have this system. And it was really valuable to go up and brew that system for a little while. And the brewers that started Crux came from Deschutes and Sierra Nevada.
Oh, so
they have a very strong pedigree of brewers, and it was awesome to go learn from them for a week.
Wow. Yeah, just sit there and like watch them brew. It'd be really cool. I'd be geeking
blow
out.
Your mind. Yeah.
It was awesome. The biggest benefit of that system, honestly, is that Malcolm and I have been able to manage all the brewing. Like there's two people that touch that brew system, and that's it. And honestly, Malcolm does 80% of the brewing nowadays, and it's super fast to brew on.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Like most of our beers have 4 or 5 step mash process, and we can still, you know, crush out a brew in about 4 hours. Which most brewers look at me like, how the hell do you do that?
You can see David's face. He just flipped clay off. I did. Very aggressive.
Our amber ale is a single infusion mash, and that thing is like a 3-hour brew day for a 20-barrel batch of beer. It's insanity how fast that brew system rolls.
I'm not gonna lie.
I can see it in your face.
Wow, that's cool though. Like it's really cool because you can do multiple brews in one day. Fill up a tank, big ass tank.
Yeah, exactly. So our biggest tanks here are 4 times the volume of our brew house. So our brew house is 20 hectoliters or 17 barrels, and we have 80 hectoliter fermenters. And Malcolm and I can knock out, you know, an 80 hectoliter batch of amber ale in like 9 hours.
No big deal.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's really cool. That's really cool. No wonder you guys win gold medals. Wow.
And there's always beer like flowing.
Yeah, you guys always have beer going.
I don't think I've ever been here where it's like there's a tap out. Like, not that I've noticed anyway.
Which is tough to do, I think.
That's good.
Super tough.
I think there's a tap or two out right now.
Oh, shit. I mean, just kidding.
Spoiler alert.
This episode.
No, it's y'all aren't open yet.
That's part of the process, though, because we'll bring in, you know, like I was talking about how we'll blend.
Yeah.
Blend beers. We do that in the back too. I have some open top half barrel fermenters, and sometimes I don't think an idea is going to work well in a firkin, but sometimes it might work well with dosing a half barrel keg with a random ingredient, and then we can serve it, you know, fully carbonated, not a firkin. And you know, a firkin, you have to go through it in a day. It's not going to be good the next day most of the time. So sometimes it's nice to throw on. So sometimes we have something here that's only a half barrel keg. And so that's going to obviously lead to a downline for a little while.
Mm-hmm. So Shane, favorite beer on tap right now?
Ooh, probably.
I already know the answer.
Vienna Lager.
That's a lie.
But Keto's Light has my heart. Like
Keto's Light, huh?
Yeah, those light beers.
So you just crush a bajillion of them and still
drink all day and be fine. It's great.
I like that. What about a higher point beer? Do you like any of that? Or any hazy boys, any IPAs, any some funkies?
Kind of straying away from those. The Imperial Red has been my jam since it got a little colder, though. It's delicious.
So it does kind of fluctuate with the seasons then?
Yeah, definitely.
Gotcha.
Sure. Yeah.
So light beer. Good to know. Clay, what about you? Favorite beer on tap right now that you make?
The Vienna Lager, for sure. But also, like Shane, when during the summer months, I crushed Keto's Light. all summer long. And that was the whole point of making that Keto's Light beer. It was supposed to just be a summertime crusher.
Mm. So you crush three, have a pickle beer, crush three more, have a pickle beer. That's what I would do. Stop judging. Just have one.
Whoa.
It's fantastic.
The pickle beer or the Keto's Light?
Both.
I've tried the Keto's Light. The first time I tried it, I told Shane it tasted like marshmallows.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Marshmallows.
Mm-hmm. That has a smell, you know, maybe of marshmallows sometimes.
Fascinating.
Yeah. That's what I got anyway.
If you're crazy.
Hey.
Yeah. Just kidding.
You don't know.
No, but gentlemen, when it comes to Keto's, you guys are growing, you have Slackwater's coming around the corner, right?
Yep.
Then you have Fish around the corner. Then you have Tea Up down the street. Do you guys like being, you said the neighborhood, you like being in the neighborhood. Do you guys like that it's still growing around you guys as well? And yep. Salt Lake's still growing?
Yeah. It's an amazing thing. We've always had the philosophy that the more people that move into the more breweries, more, you know, beer-centric restaurants that move into the neighborhood, the more people will come to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's kind of just like a rising tide is going to raise all the ships. It's not That's like really we're cool. in competition
yeah.
with these guys. The more people that come to the neighborhood, the better for all of us.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite thing about the beer community in general is that we all support each other. We all send each other to different, you know, everybody's breweries. Uh-huh. When I'm on shift at Bewilder, I'm usually either texting Shane or communicating with him, being like, hey, man, I just had a group of 10 here. I'm going to send them your way. So just so you know, I'm giving you a heads up so your bartender doesn't get overwhelmed.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And
I love it.
we do it for each other. You know uh-huh. what I mean? And yeah. sometimes I'll text, or not text, but I'll send people, I'll give them a list. And it's just pretty much everyone in this little circle.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool. Well, and it's the camaraderie. And one of my favorite stories, Clay, and you're a part of this story, is we're doing a collaboration. Jack and I were doing it at Proper, and we ran out of lactose. So everyone jokes, like, you should have gone to Shades first. I'm like, I know, but we didn't have time. So we called Colby. I went to Fisher, and Colby was hella busy. So we're like, okay, we're just going to go down the street. We're just going to show up to see what Clay's doing. And then, like, you're like, hey, guys, what's up? And you gave us lactose right then and there. You guys are just doing the Raimondo mm-hmm. on the new canning line. Mm-hmm. And that was really cool, dude. I think that's the proves of how cool the brewers are in the community inside of Utah. It's like we are able to help each other. It's not just cutthroat here. It's just like, let's all help each other out. Right. And so thanks again. I always want to say thank you for doing that because that saved the beer.
Of course.
And it was in the middle of boil, which is like, shit. Yeah, it's really funny. But
I think the best part of that story is that is not an unusual thing. That happens once a week, whether it's somebody coming to us to ask for something or me hitting up, you know, Templin or Marcio, or I used to hit up Templin when he was at Red Rock mm-hmm. consistently. It happens consistent, and everybody's just happy to help each other. It's awesome.
I love that, because I remember the boys up in Utah hit us up at Strap Tank, mm-hmm. and sort of like, yeah, we'll make it happen. It's a long drive, but we'll make it happen. So that's really, I mean, even doesn't matter how far you are, we'll make it happen. We'll make it work out. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, what's some of your favorite places to go that's not, you know, around here? Like favorite breweries, favorite places for beer? Like who's just killing it right now, in your guys' opinion?
In Utah?
Yeah.
Templin for me, I mean every brewery has a beer that I love. Mm. So I mean I don't want to exclude
right,
it. Everybody makes a beer that's awesome around here. But right now it's hard. Templin is close to where I live, so it's nice. Templin also makes a lot of lagers, and I'm a lager boy. Mm. So
yeah,
Ditto. I don't know if I can add anything else there.
Yeah,
German style beers are tasty,
right? Yeah, I don't know, but Bewilder just put out that Italian Pilsner.
Yeah, the Vitruvian.
That mm-hmm. beer, oof, that one's probably the best beer I've had in the last couple weeks.
Nice. I'm sure Cody at Bewilder will appreciate
it. With those French hops?
Yeah.
Well, looks like we might have to take a break. Sound good?
Sounds good. I just saw Kate from Hands dropped off food because I sent out an SOS.
Then you should go get some. So yeah, we'll take a break real quick. Sound good, boys?
Yeah, awesome.
This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com
or DM us through all social media platforms.
All right, guys, so we're back. We're all refreshed, ready to go. And I learned this technique a month ago. I've been practicing with people, and you guys have great dark beers. So this is called beer stachel, which is a beer spike or beer stab. So Clay, I know you went, I told you about this, and you went and hurried and grabbed a pastry stout of yours, right?
Yeah.
So tell me about this pastry stout, and don't worry, I'm not going to burn anyone.
I need to put my hair, oh!
Oh man, we've got open flame. The pastry stout is something we did at Keto's in 2019. It's been a couple years, and we have plans to bring it back. We just haven't made it a priority just yet. This was a beer. It was kind of our first go at a pastry stout. I'm really happy with how it turned out. I bought 100, I think it was 200 pounds of fresh almonds.
Oh, wow.
And one day I just stayed home all day and roasted almonds in my oven. And then the next day I came in and brewed this pastry stout with a whole lot of almonds. And this beer finished at around 7.5 or 8 Play-Doh. But it's still, you know, 13% beer.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot of residual sugar in this. And so I'm really intrigued with the caramelization process that I think we're about to see with this beer.
I am super afraid for my face right now because it's so close.
So have you guys had this beer before? That's a dumb question, but do you guys taste it recently? You guys remember what it tastes like?
I don't remember what it tastes like. So I'm going to pour a little sample here for myself. And maybe some of you guys want to try this as well, because it has been at least a year since I tried this beer.
Yes, please.
So, Shane, you don't like darker beers, right, typically?
I do. I like the stouts, yes. This one's a little sweet, though.
So I'm curious smell to see this thing? How it's going to go. It
smells like sweet chocolate syrup with almonds to me.
I just want to live in this can. Dark beers are my favorite. Imperial stouts, pastry stouts, anything with coffee, cinnamon, chocolate.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
Hmm. Yeah, it's sweet.
This
it's
beer,
like
yeah.
Chocolatey or cherry. I get a little cherry on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is a beer that is probably a little too sweet for me to drink a full can. And it's also, you know, 13%, so you probably don't.
It's got some roastiness in it.
It does, yeah.
Man, you said this is 2 years old?
It is. I'll check the can again, but I believe it was fall of 2019.
Yeah, go ahead and pour.
Yeah, canned September of 2019.
You're only doing this to one of them or all of them?
All of them. So pour like that much in each one. Okay. Probably, yeah.
Is that a special kind of metal that we're heating up right now?
Yeah, so I learned this from Kevin Ely. So he used to work at UINSA. He's at Woolly Pig Farm. So I called him, had a conversation. He uses raw iron or stainless steel. So here we go.
All right. Got hot metal going into beer.
Sizzle.
It's amazing.
I might have to stab yours again, Clay. I apologize.
That's okay.
Maybe. Just they're going to stay hot enough.
That was awesome. It's like you were doing like milkshake stuff. But with hot metal.
There you go. So now, I mean, you guys saw it, like, you can smell it. I mean,
yeah, it was.
Boom.
Whoa. It smells like a roasted marshmallow campfire. Whoa.
That was exactly what I smelled.
Right?
Roasted marshmallows.
Yeah.
So the foam will be warm, but the beer is cold. So it's kind of part of the sensation, like part of the process to drink it.
Cheers.
Ooh, cheers.
What's the finish one again?
Keep us.
Sorry for our pronunciation.
Holy mother lover.
Holy cow. This this is like creme brulee all the time.
Yeah, 100%. That's delicious.
That's really weird.
I love it. I want to do this to my beer all the time, except I'm afraid of fire.
Wow.
Shane, what do you think, dude?
It made it better.
Different, better.
I like it better.
I think it took the bitterness and the roastiness away, mm-hmm. and it added like a creaminess to it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys got that, but I got like a creamy vibe.
Yeah. For me, it kind of went from like roasted dark malts with a ton of chocolate sweetness to like roasted marshmallows with like something chocolatey underneath. But it definitely got rid of like that acrid roasty malt thing that you can get sometimes.
And also, like, it didn't make it as, because I feel like she was hot before, right? Like the ABV, like, you could, it was in there. Now it like smoothed it out. it's not as harsh as it was before. Not that it, I mean, I like the other version as well, but
you add lactose to this, right?
Oh yeah.
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 It feels like that's, it's like not as sweet now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
Dang, you guys go light beer my stuff. Beer on fire all the time.
Yeah. So I learned this technique. So what you do is you get, stainless steel. I got 12 inches. I passivated all this. So we all took care of it before, you know, so it's all clean, right? Clean iron or stainless steel. And then just roast it till it gets red hot like you guys saw and then start poking beers.
Yeah, this is a fun project that I'm going to...
You should definitely play with that a lot. Yeah.
Like, I think like places like Prohibition, people like that can at bars. Like it's all really right. Cool. Like you don't like beer? Let me cheat you something real quick. It'd be a cool party trick, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think it... I mean, I don't know how brave your bartenders are, but this would actually be fun to do
playing
at the bar.
With fire at the bar. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We could facilitate a way where it's not, it's like a, it's a hot plate versus a open flame.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, because I know Templin told me that they had like, back in Germany, some people had like wires they added on like a stove almost, and they'd pull these wires out, stab beers.
Interesting.
Kevin Ely taught me, when you stab the beer, you stab it in the beer, then you work your way up in the foam and go back in the beer.
Okay.
Some people just say stab the beer for 4 seconds, take it out. But I don't think you're going to burn all that sugar. So I like to swirl it without trying to touch the glass because you don't want to accidentally break the glass.
I didn't think that I could have my brain blown by beer anymore, but there it is.
There it is. You guys
Boom.
Have it.
Yeah. Goes the dynamite.
Yeah, so now you can always stab other beers.
Like, thanks for showing us this. This is awesome. Yeah, my mind immediately went to how can we implement this in the tavern? Obviously, I don't think we're going to be, you know,
throw
making
one of
flaming
those in
hots.
The- Throw it in the bright tank.
Ooh, interesting.
A huge one. Throw it in there.
Yeah, you're going to need more than 12 inches. Yeah. Ayo.
Stop. But I've always wanted to stab, you know, barley wines and anything barrel-aged. So, I mean, we did the barrel-aged Imperial Stout at Templin's, and that was really cool how the wood characteristic came more forward. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. So it's just weird how you heat up the beer, and I don't know.
It's weird.
Should be good. Thank you. It's like my As Seen on TV oven mitt.
Yeah. Like. That was awesome. That was really fun. Thanks
yeah,
for showing
yeah.
us
we
that.
Can, I mean, we can always do more, you know, whatever, yeah, other beers.
We've got a barley wine out right now on the
barley,
table.
Yeah. I've always, I mean, what's a style of beer you guys think would do
Clay
well with
just
this?
Wants to light everything on fire now.
I think you're onto something with beers that have some residual sugar, and I think... Something with that that wood character, barrel aged beers would probably also be, you know, lend a nice smoky character to it.
Yeah,
and like a hoppy beer, I have no idea. Probably
I haven't tried it.
I would my first assumption would be terrible, but who knows?
I want to try a Cascadian dark ale.
Ooh, interesting.
But I don't know what it would do to the hops. You know what I mean? Same thing.
Like hoppy beer, but that's got a little bit of roast to
it.
Yeah,
because we did interesting. We did Level Crossing's Red Sea Drift, so it's an Imperial Coffee Stout. Uh-huh. And that was really cool. The coffee just.
That's
came,
a solid
really
beer.
Nice. But we didn't do his internal pursuit, which is the Belgian Dark Strong. Uh-huh. So I wanted to do that one. But that's a beer for another day, I guess. Mm-hmm. But on that, I want to talk to you guys about goals for... So, Shane, goals for 2022 for the tap room at Keto's.
Oh, man. Return to 2019. I don't know. Yeah.
Do you want me to see pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID numbers, you know.
Yeah.
Oh,
want to see people out and about safely, of course, but you know, want to see happy bartenders and all that service industry being happy. So
that's really cool. So how do we make that come to fruition in Keto's?
Come hang out.
Yeah.
29 beers on tap and Clay's brewing cool things all the time. Him and Malcolm. Cool. Yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool, guys. Really cool.
And like we mentioned earlier, I think bringing, you know, Slackwater coming into town, you know, within a block of us is
really cool.
I mean, that kind of stuff is going to help also make sure that our tavern is full every day.
I like that.
So
what about for in the brewing aspect in Keto's beer? I know you have your eye on another metal, but what's some goals at 2022?
You know, metals are nice. Metals are cool. But really what it comes down to, I think, is we just want to try and perfect all the beers. Malcolm and I and Chad also all have a feeling that the beers are never really, they're never done. They're never perfect. Mm. Like, I have a philosophy in brewing that the recipes always need to change. Like, if we went back and looked at the recipes that we were brewing in 2017 versus what the recipes we're brewing now, I don't think there's a single hop that was in the original batches that we still use today. Like, we still use them in different beers.
Sure.
But the recipes are constantly changing. And it's just kind of trying to keep up with, you know, that year's harvest of whether it's the barley or the hops, or trying to keep up with what, you know, people, the general public's change. Like, what they want in a beer changes. Like, amber ales from, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, I imagine taste very different from what they taste now. And that's extreme. That timeline's very extreme. But even over a couple of years, recipes need to be just updated to what the current tastes are. And it also keeps people, I feel like it keeps people intrigued. Like, they don't get bored of a beer if you're constantly, like, you don't ever want the change to be huge, but keep people interested in those yeah. core beers. And to do that, it's, you know, understanding that last year's crop of, you know, Chinook hops or Cascade might be wildly different. We might need to use different hops in our pale ale.
Yeah.
And not being married to, you know, the recipe that was originally written.
Yeah.
And then just constantly keeping up with, there's always new equipment, new trends, new ways to make the brewing process better, the cellar process better. We're starting to get away from filtration here at Keto's and using more biofine, because I'm finding that I like how our beer tastes at 60 days better when it's been biofined rather than filtered, which is something cool. that I've learned recently, actually.
That's really cool. You're always growing, always expanding your knowledge and brewing, and I like that.
Right. And so I think that that's always a goal. So specifically for 2022 would be to try and keep making our beers better consistently, but also, you know, keeping a nice inclusive work environment that people feel comfortable coming to work and safe here.
Hell yeah, Clay.
So and not only just our employees, but we like to see ourselves as, you know, a community pillar and a place that the community can hang out in. It's a safe space. So
I like that. You guys are badass.
I love it here.
I love it. Yeah, Keto's is a great place. Are we going to see more collabs in the future, gentlemen?
Oh, of course.
We have to. We have to. So Chad actually is on the is part of the guild here. He's our representative for the guild.
Cool.
And we are. I can't remember exactly what the dates are, but the Collaboration Fest is coming back. So
hell
that,
yeah.
that will bring a ton of collaboration beers to the Utah market. But me on another, just outside of the Collaboration Fest, that's something that over the last 2 years has not happened, a lot of collaboration, and I think it needs to be made a priority. So
that's cool,
we
dude.
Will be making that a priority here to do some collaborations, and not only with other breweries. I want to collaborate with whether it's restaurants or little local markets or whatever it is. I've got some things up my sleeve that I'm working on.
That's really cool. You guys are awesome. God damn. We have cool friends.
Are you like so in love right now?
I was in love when I met him the first time, and I mean even more love. So, but I want to say thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedules and a Saturday morning to come, you know, hang out with me and just let me pick your brain and drink some good beers and talk about you guys. When it goes in for Keto's, is there anything as a brewer or as a tastemaster that I can do to help you guys become better, you know, what I can do to help Keto's? Can I clean some toilets? Can I, you know, whatever you guys need.
He wants to install a bidet in one of your bathrooms.
I didn't bring up the bidet conversation this entire time, but you guys have a bidet yet?
We don't, but I have heard bidets come up in the past on your
podcast.
So I wasn't going to, but then Diaz, the one who gives me shit for it.
Because it's Bidavid, yo.
Yeah, my nickname is Bidavid now. I heard that the other day and I died.
Yeah, I've never used a bidet.
I changed his name in my contract.
You scared or just,
you know, I'm
just
not scared. I'm completely open to trying it. I think, it makes a lot of sense.
Come to the house.
It does make actual sense. Yeah. I just think it's so funny.
It's in the guest bathroom on purpose, Clay. So come to the house.
All right.
Use the guest bathroom.
Did you always have a bidet, or was that part of the toilet paper crisis?
Necessity. The first time I had a bidet was in, had a bidet, used a bidet. Was in Mexico.
And interesting. Okay.
So I'm like, what is going on here? But they did it like the whole like hot water, no water kind of thing. So it was like scolding your ass or not. And then my Asian friend, his family has bidets, and they're like, it's all in Japanese, right? So I sat on it. I was intimidated, but he taught it to me, and I tried it out, and I loved it. And then I got married. My wife, I've been trying, ever since I got married, telling my wife, hey, we're getting a bidet. We're not getting a bidet. We're getting a bidet. No. And then she pulled the trigger one birthday, and I got a bidet.
Aww, and then
I've been talking to everyone. Like, when I come to my house, I got a bidet. Like, that's basically what happened. But yeah, is there anything I can do for you guys to help you guys as Keto's?
I think you're already doing it. I mean, you're bringing knowledge to people that want to hear about the breweries and what's going on behind the scenes. So you're doing the Lord's work.
I love that. I love that. But guys, you guys are badass, and I'm glad we're friends. If there is something, you know, out loud or behind the scenes, let me know. I would love to help you guys out at any time and hang out, you know.
Could have us on again.
Yeah, and you guys can co-host too. You guys be down to co-host?
I'm happy. I'd love to just drink beers and chat.
It's so much fun. I do know that Shane wanted to try this last beer before we leave the air.
Which one is it?
This one, yeah.
Oh, I was wondering if we should stab this one.
Oh, you want to stab that one?
What is this, a gold nail?
It's a key lime pie.
Key lime gold nail?
You know, something crazy.
Is there lactose in it?
There's no lactose. No, there is lactose. There's one bag of lactose.
Should I go
in
get
that.
Four new glasses to try that one?
Yes, let's try
it. I'm about crazy things, you know?
All right.
So it's our key lime pie beer. It tastes like a sour beer, but only because of the key lime puree.
Mm.
It's not actually a kettle sour or anything. It's fermented with just our Chico strain of yeast.
Oh, interesting.
It tastes very sour because of the shitload of key lime puree that we put in the beer.
Gotcha. But you're calling it a golden ale because it is a golden ale.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Exactly.
Well, while Diaz gets those glass, why is this one so fascinating to you, Shane?
It's not a stout, right?
Just want to see if it's
sour.
Works.
Let's try a sour stabbed and see what happens.
I've never stabbed a sour, so.
Have you stabbed a fruited beer yet?
No.
Interesting.
So we're
blazing new trails around here.
Let's do it, guys. I'm down. But, you know, based off learning this new technique, what's some other beers do you think you guys can think of in the other breweries that you want to stab?
My first thought for a beer that's not mine is, honestly, I've got a bottle, like a 3-year-old bottle of Lost Coast Old Stock Ale in my fridge right now, and I think that would be delicious. But I mean, that's similar to a barley wine. That sounds awesome, though. Interesting. I'm kind of intrigued with how this fruited sour is going to go.
I'd like to do the Fluffier Nuts from TF.
Oh, that'd be cool.
We still have a can of that at home.
Wow. Just trying to think. What's one that Bewolder we could stab?
Ooh, the Mole Porter.
I have a can of Mole Porter upstairs.
Oh, damn. Shit. We can do that off record.
That's the after party.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I'm trying to think. Because at work at Strapton, we have a nitro stout. If we stab that, it is dry, but it just, but then it like re-nitrified it. Like it cascaded so bad. It was really cool. And then we stabbed a coconut cream ale, and the coconut tastes like toasted coconut. It's really cool.
Nice.
But I haven't done fruit yet.
I'm excited. What's been your favorite one that you've stabbed so far?
Probably that Outer Darkness. So Jason Stock brought his like OG Outer Darkness, and that one was just, it just complemented the beer so well. It just brought out different flavors without taking away from, it still was a beer. It still was great. Yeah, this is my new party trick. I'm gonna take it to every party.
You should just like start the party here though. Like, don't do this like three beers deep.
Oh, gotcha.
And don't even say anything. Just like whip
just,
out.
Just the, in the corner. Torch. I just want to see you in the
corner.
I'm
just gonna go to like Slack Water and just like put it on the table. It's like opening up. Bring some beers.
Bring me your Joey darkest would kill me. Beer with sugar.
All right, you guys ready? You see how it's red hot? Ready to go?
Yep. Red, piping hot. Looks like it's gonna burn.
You guys might take a nap.
Very exciting.
Milkshake.
Yeah, I want to get those smells.
I know. I'm like, I want to smell it immediately.
Oh, whoa, that's interesting. The lime is coming through.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Clay, you're still good?
Yeah. Maybe one more dip.
When I dip, you dip, we dip.
All right. Keepers, or... I'm trying so hard.
What is it? Keep us?
Yom Kippur.
Keep us.
Keep us. Oh my God.
Oh my, it tastes like a key lime, like a cream key lime pie.
Fresh out of the oven.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It smells like an apple pie.
Oh, yeah.
Or a lime pie.
It really did turn it into, like, instead of like a sour beer, it's more of like a baked treat type beer.
Like a lemon meringue type.
Yeah.
Lime meringue pie. That's crazy.
Good call, homie.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. Try it. Oh, crazy things, you know?
Yeah. This is for Firkin. This is stab Firkin. No, guys, but we'll end that on that note. Is there anything, Diaz, you have for us today?
No, man. Go live your dreams.
Thanks for being a part of this today.
Thank you for having me. I always have so much fun when I come on your show, especially that I have friends, you know, we can just shoot the shit, hang out,
yeah,
drink the drinks.
You're awesome. Thanks for helping me and everything you do. Guys, thanks again. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us on.
Thanks, David.
Until the next stab, my friends.
Until next stab.
That sounds very brown of you.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_Audio.